Welcome to Starfleet Universe On Call. I am Paul Franz, owner of Franz Games. I run SWP Online, FedCom Online, and Starfleet Warlord. Just a reminder how to join us. We have a talkcast every Thursday night starting 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time. You can either call on the phone, just dial 605-562-0444. Just follow the directions, and the call ID is 17702. Or you can participate on the web. Just go to the TalkShoe website at www.talkshoe.com and search for call ID 17702. Or you can go to twitch.tv/SFUOnCall. That's SFUONCALL. And of course, if you need to contact me for any reason, my email address is sfuoncall@gmail.com. That's sfuoncall@gmail.com. Also, you want to reach me via Twitter. My account there is sfuoncall. And of course, my personal account is Paul Franz. It's PaulFranz. There's no T in that. For those of you in Pennsylvania, you know what I'm talking about. And of course, my business account, which is Franz Games, FranzGmes. And of course, his lovely TalkCast gets turned to a podcast available on iTunes and various other feeds around the net. Some quick news from A to B this week. Steve Cole, of course, is busy working on SWP module SJ3, The Shadow of the Eagle. And Steve Petrick was busy working on the Tholian Master Starship book, with Gene working on the Call Arms Starfleet book 2. But overall, not much going on. I know they've been working on those for a couple weeks, and I'm sure they're going to continue to work on those. Onward to the SWP Online tournament, the Sapphire Star 2 tournament. We have a winner in the Mad Jack versus Crash and Burn. And Mad Jack is victorious. He is flying the Black Shark with two drone racks. And then he's going to be against Madman in the Orion for the finals for the Sapphire Star tournament number 2. And after that's completed, I'm assuming we might wait until January 1st, and we'll be accepting signups for the next tournament. And moving on to the library report, of course, we have had nothing, no movement there. I'm sorry to say, but it is what it is. Complete conversions stay at 2,519, with yet to be completed, which 811, with a percentage complete being 75.65%. And with that is the news for this week. And it's me, yes, the one, the only, the Paul Franz, welcoming you to Starfleet Universe On Call. And tonight, you got me, you got Barry, you got Drew's hanging out, which is always good. And of course, we have the one, the most famous, Dave, is here. So, Barry, how you doing?
Beat up. Yeah. It was a heck of a day at work. Mm-hmm. There I was 30 feet in the air on top of a scissors lift, and it's like, oh, I'm getting dizzy here.
Oh,
I better
not
pass out.
No, that would not be good.
It's like, you know what, I better go downstairs and not get on a scissors lift again today.
Nope, not at all.
Yeah. My job sometimes requires me to go up fairly high up on these things, and I am terrified of heights. So it's like, yeah, you go up there, it's like, oh God, I hate this, but you got to do it. And
understood.
It's like, yeah, I don't know if you've ever been up on a scissors lift.
No, not really. I don't plan on it. No, thank you. I do.
Oh, well, let's just say that they sway.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
you think
how
about
tall?
It.
How tall was the scissor lift?
This giant, a scissors lift.
Yeah. How far did it go up?
It's 30 feet. Yeah, why don't you Google it so you see what a scissors lift is?
Yep, pretty sure I know what a scissors lift is. It's basically it's a platform that goes up, but the basically it's X the way it does it.
Well, it's kind of like a not an accordion, but it's got these crossing steel beams, and it basically you push. There's a hydraulic piston that pushes and it just goes up and up and up and up and up. It's much better than a ladder.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
And
Miss Drew, sorry. Hi, Drew.
they do tend to sway a bit. And you're looking at it, it's like, I'm 30 feet in the air, and you know, the base of the scissors lift is not that wide.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's like you think about it, you've got this whole torque arm there. It doesn't take much force to push it over, and then you've got a long ways down.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it's, but it's safer than a ladder, I'll say that. But it's
understood,
like
understood.
You're up there, and it's like, yeah.
Drew, can you hear me?
Yeah, I could always hear you. I just wasn't sure if I got this working.
Hey, it's working.
You did. I can hear you, Drew. Hello.
Hi, how's it going?
Hey, the more the merrier.
Yeah, I hear that.
Yeah, it's nice to have a third person here. And I'm sure Paul's saying, yeah, it's nice to have a second even.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, hey. I said, the more the merrier. This is one of the reasons.
I guess it wasn't better to get this thing going.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is the one.
So, I've never talked to you before, Drew. Who are you? Tell me about yourself.
We've talked. I think we've even met. I think we met at one of the Origins.
Oh, that would have. Okay.
Probably back in the day. Yeah, I show up every once in a while, and then I go hibernate for a few years and then come back.
The last Origins I was at was Steve Cole was there.
Right after the earth cooled?
Yeah.
Now, I think it's Origins how long it's been since I've been there.
Did Origins used to float around like in the 90s?
Back in the day it did, yes.
I don't 90s. Go back that far.
Yeah, because I think I remember going to an Origins in Baltimore.
Whoa. Yeah, it was like mid, I think it was around 2008, 2009 that I started going.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. Well, I've only been to one in the last 10 years, and that was with Paul in Columbus.
Right.
Yeah, all the ones I went to were in Columbus, and then I don't think I saw you at any of the Gen Cons.
I've never been to Gen Con.
Yeah, I think I did something with Randy Blair one time over there, but apparently Origins was where I did all the Starfleet battle stuff.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Never came to Council of Five Nations?
No, that's a little too far in the wrong direction for me. I've
understood.
Always kind of wanted to, but it's one of those
where do you
things
live?
Like, every time I plan to go, something happens that adversely affects my financial prospects.
Understood.
Origins is 2 hours away.
Where do you live?
I'm in Akron, Ohio, which is about...
I know where it is,
between
yeah.
30 minutes and 4 days south of Cleveland, depending on the traffic.
Yeah. I know of what you speak.
I used to have to commute to Cleveland, and fortunately I could ride a bus, so at least if there was an issue, it was the driver's problem, not mine.
Oh, agreed.
I could take a nap.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's like some days you can do it in half an hour, and some days it'd be like 3-4 hours to get through.
Yeah. Well, I just recently
Inventor's
took a job in Ohio.
We're good for.
I recently took a job in Ohio, but it's in the other side of the state, in Cincinnati.
Yeah, that's pretty much the opposite side, but we still like them.
Well,
are you actually living there now, or?
Well, I've got a job that's like 90% travel, so I'm an I'm actually in a hotel room right now in Lebanon, Tennessee. But yeah, my office is in Cincinnati. I have an apartment in Kentucky, and my wife and dogs and house are in Pennsylvania. So Kentucky and Pennsylvania. I live in Pennsylvania, if you can follow that.
Okay. Yeah, I know the area. My aunt used to be
The
in
Pennsylvania
Bardstown,
area.
out there in
What's that?
Bardstown. My aunt used to be a nun. Well, I mean, she's deceased, but she
Right.
was in her order was in Bardstown, right by the
Okay.
distillery. So, so I'm kind of familiar with some of that area.
There are a lot of distilleries in Kentucky.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, there's this 90-some-year-old nun who's there who could probably tell you everything you'd ever want to know about any one of them.
Yeah. You drive up and down the interstate, 71 and 65 and 75, and there's all these brown National Historic Register sites, for the Kentucky Bourbon Trail. And all these distilleries have factory tours.
Oh yeah, trust me, the nuns know all about that.
Well, God bless them,
Was actually hilarious because when my aunt died, some of the friends that my mom and sister would always go and visit them, and they were asking like if we, needed anything for after the wake, and I wasn't sure what they were talking about until I realized that they were talking about alcohol. And what I really wasn't expecting was the menu that they were offering us. So yeah, they're good down there.
Yeah.
Well, gentlemen, before I get to mine,
Yeah.
do you have any Christmas ideas for board gamers or just gamers in general?
Well, yes. There's a board game I picked up that is freaking awesome. There's two versions of it. You can get them both. Is the deluxe version and buy it straight from Roxley Games. Is Brass, and there's two versions of it from Broxley.
Broxley, that's
One is Brass Lancashire.
Brox. Broxley Games?
Brass was the metal. BRA.
Oh.
What's that?
What's the game?
Brass. Roxley. Roxley is
Oh,
the name of
Roxley
the
Game.
manufacturer or the publisher. Roxley Games is the publisher. And they did a bang up job. I showed my copy of Brass Lancashire to my wife, and she was like, "Oh my God, I've never seen a more beautiful game." They just knocked that one out of the park. And there's Brass Lancashire and Brass Birmingham. And they're both amazing.
Cool.
Yeah, I saw them at Gamers of Summer, and I will be bringing them to Gamers of Winter.
Cool.
And Drew, that's almost, if you're in Akron, that's almost close enough to drive to.
Yeah, actually, I have been considering that once in a while, but the funny thing is, like I said, it just seemed like the past few years, every time I'd get ready to go to a convention, like I would lose my job or something like that would happen. So
Well,
hopefully
that sucks.
things are going to be more stable now. And they, because the company I'm working for now, they've tried the outsourcing thing, it didn't work for them. So I don't think I have to worry about that this time. But yeah.
Yeah, they hired about three people. They said, "Oh, we can get hire three people and they'll do the same job as you, but we'll get three times as many people for the same price." But it turns out those three people can't do anything. So they, yeah, I know how that works.
Yeah, but apparently I've been impressing somebody because they seem to like me. So as long as they like me for the next year, I'll go to a couple conventions this time around.
What do you do?
Do software development.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's it was an insurance company the last time. Yeah, I mean it was okay. Everything was good except that they finally got to a point where it's like we need 100 people if we want to finish this project on time. And 12 of us, and the company that they brought in to kind of advise them on this said, like, well, we can help you, but we, you know, need to put our people on it. So, I mean, it turned out great for me. I ended up in a better place, so no grudges. But unfortunately, it happened in February, so my summer convention time was kind of like, I can't spend money until I've secured a new job.
Right,
so it's always
something
like that, you know. It's like a, but when is the Gamers of Winter?
Martin Luther King weekend.
Yes.
Okay, I might actually be able to do that because I'll have PTO. So
yeah,
and it's
a fairly inexpensive convention to attend.
Yeah, it's
I've actually looked into it before. Mm-hmm. I just, you know, it just hasn't been right. So I think maybe this year we'll give it a shot.
Right. It's I call it a single room convention. Is what it is. It's to me, it's more like a big gaming group that meets up every 6 months.
Yeah.
Twice a year. Yeah.
Right. It's almost like your other family.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, hey, everybody, you know, it's like,
Norm!
You meet and greet the same people you've been meeting. What's that?
Norm! Where everybody know your
Norm.
Name.
Yeah.
Yeah. Actually, there used to be a really great gaming convention right around spring break at Akron U when I was younger. That it was just in the upper part of the student center, but you know, it went all weekend, and it was... I mean, it was nice. It was just big enough that there was a good variety of things to do, but small enough that it wasn't overwhelming. So, unfortunately, they don't do that anymore, and I kind of miss it. But yeah, you know, it's kind of the same type of thing. I think it's something I'd like to try.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Gamers is fun. Now the only I don't know, Paul, if you heard, but Doug is not. I don't know if we should be discussing that.
What about,
you there, Paul?
Yeah, I'm here. What about Doug?
What's that? I don't know if you heard what happened to his house.
No.
The
one he's been
Eric
fighting.
Is looking for an apartment. Yeah, Eric is looking for an apartment.
Oh, crap. You finally lost the fight?
Yeah, I know. Well, possibly. He spent his life savings on an attorney.
Dang.
Which may or may not work. We don't know.
So, who is this again?
Doug Howard.
It's the guy who runs the convention.
Okay, I think I'm Facebook friends with him. He's still having issues with the house?
Yeah, yeah.
Yep.
He's a photographer, right?
Yep.
Yes, he is.
Okay, yeah, same guy. That's a shame. I really was hoping he got that.
Yeah. Well, unfortunately, the frickin' bank literally stole the house from him. And, I mean, they were doing stupid things like, the attorney went to the personitary's office and says, we have a court order that we have the house, so Doug needs to be evicted. Well, they didn't have a court order. They just made it up. And so the sheriff said to Doug, you have to be out of the house by this time. And Doug's like, but you don't have a court order. And he's like, we don't care. The personitary office told us we had a court order. Well, the personitary's office was lied to. Well, talk to the personitary's office. The personitary's office was like, We don't want to talk to you. That lawyer said they had a court order. We don't need to check to see if they actually had one. We'll take their word for it.
See, I had an employee once who had a situation like that, and he ended up getting the house free and clear because of the stuff they were pulling, but not all states have those protections.
Right. I don't know that Pennsylvania does.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, crap.
But anyway, though, if we want to swing this back to the topic, it looks like one of your guests had a suggestion for artisandice.com, which that was one of the things I was going to suggest. Like, a gamer can always use a new set of dice.
Oh, no. Ooh, look at that. Beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I can't tell you how many nice collections of six-sided dice that I picked up at the local game store.
Mm-hmm.
When they got those little cubes of six, you know, you get like 20, 30 small six-sided dice, which is absolutely great for Starfleet battles because, you know, you just, the blue ones are phasers, the red ones are heavies, the green ones are, you know, whatever else, and you just roll them all in one big pile, and there you go.
And okay, for Diamond Allocation, we have
$400 dice set that he's talking about. I don't know about that. that would have to be one amazing set of dice for me to pay $400 for.
And it'd be very someone very, very, very special. It's like, why don't you give them jewelry?
I mean, do they roll themselves?
That's self-rolling dice.
I'd be scared of a self-rolling dice just because, how do we know it's really going to be random? Of course, and then, of course, there's the whole thing about the reason why you get dice is to roll them yourselves, that visceral thing about rolling the dice. You know? And then, of course, to kind of tweak your hands.
No, it's
just so wet.
$400 for a set of dice. I'm paying that for a set of dice. They're rolling all ones all the time.
I don't think people would appreciate that.
I am tired of whiffing my photon rolls.
These are special photon dice.
I don't think
so. Yeah, my weapons officer, Joe, is legendary.
Beyond legendary.
Yeah.
Range 2, 4 overloaded photons, and I roll 5s and 6s.
Ouch.
Oh.
Every single time.
Well, it could be worse. It could be hell worse. Rolling a 12 at range 1. It's like, how can you freaking miss?
Yeah,
you can still miss. I've seen people do that, and it's just one of those things that you just gotta go. Game's over. If I can't hit with range 1 of a hellbore, you win.
Yeah, but then the fusions roll 1, so you're okay.
So I do have a question for the guest. You mentioned Gator Jaw and Mammoth Tusk. I'm assuming those are styles, since a dice made out of mammoth tusk would probably violate a few laws, but...
Right.
I want to think.
Oh, agreed.
But, in your opinion, since you've been to the site, I mean, do they actually look like they're worth $400? Because he also mentions the dice shop online.com that are a little more reasonable, but, I mean, you know, if money were... not much of an object. Do those 400 dice really look like they're worth $400?
I have to find them. I'm sure Dave, that's guest Dave. That user account has a story behind it from long, many, many, many years ago. So I won't go into it right now. Okay. Let's go specialty dice then.
So Drew, I got a question for you. Have you been following previous episodes of Talk Show on the podcast?
It's like, you know, Starfleet battles. It's like I I've been around a few times. I kind of come and go, but you know, it's like I was talking to Paul on Facebook. It's like a lot of times there'll be an interesting topic, but I won't find out about it till the next day. It's usually I need to be in, you know, I'm usually trying to get to bed between 9:30 and 10 on a work day, but, you know, it's kind of like, you know, I'll show up for a bit and then I'll disappear for a year and then I'll come back.
I understand. Well, the reason I ask is because we've been doing every week or most weeks we've been doing a discussion about
when you're available, basically.
When I'm available.
Yeah, you're not always. I understand.
Various ships.
Yep.
So I'm Mr. Omega.
Yes.
Or I used to be.
$344 for titanium dragon dice.
Titanium,
yes.
Last time I spent that much money on titanium, it was made by Smith & Wesson. It was a Mother's Day gift for my wife.
Mm-hmm. Man. A gun for $300, that's not too bad. That's not too expensive.
Well, no, I said that it was more than that. It was like that one was almost $1,100.
Yep.
But that was a very small revolver for her purse with a laser in it.
22?
357.
350. Okay. A small little gun.
357 Magnum. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like.
Yeah. Oh, it's a pocket cannon.
Yeah.
13 ounces.
Dang.
13 ounces.
Well, that's because of the titanium.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's 357 Magnum. And holy crap. It's like, surprise!
That's not the kind of surprise I want. Woman pulling that out of her purse.
Got a 3/4 inch barrel. And if you miss, if the person's within 3 to 4 feet and you miss, you'll burn them to death. Just so much flame shooting out the end of it.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Neat dice.
Yeah.
But anyway, okay.
Don't blind you to shoot the thing because... Sorry, back on topic?
Yeah, let's try. Let's try to get back on topic. Because at the same time, you're not going to be here for very long. Supposedly.
I know. I tend to topic drift on you.
Yes, you do. Squirrel. Yeah.
Actually, it's a shame Sean's not here because he could tell us all about the new Car Wars Kickstarter.
Oh, yeah.
I saw that one.
I'm actually...
Some of the categories are like, and if you give $4,000, it's like, excuse me?
I'm actually a little disappointed, though, because... I kind of liked the complexity, you know, because the way it looks like, you know, it looks like what they're aiming for is, you know, if you just want to get a bunch of guys and do some kind of an arena thing, it's going to be streamlined for that. But, you know, if you want to actually try to do scenarios, then it's not going to really, it doesn't look to me like it's going to be so good at this point.
Yeah.
It looks almost like they're trying to turn it more into, I don't want to really say a beer and pretzels thing, but, you know, something that's a little more simplified. But it really does look impressive, if that's what you want with your Car Wars.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember playing Car Wars in the day.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah, for those of you who are not actually watching the video, brought up Mammoth Ivory, which goes for $2,176. Very
wow,
very pretty. okay, Woolly Mammoth suitable. Blah, 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 blah. from time to time, folks, still some across massive modified teeth. His mammoths can be well preserved, blah, blah, blah. So he's well preserved, fact that, wow. So they actually are made out of.
Here's an interesting one.
Petrified mammoth tooth. Okay. Mammoth bones. Yeah.
Interesting. Oh, I have an idea for Christmas. Okay.
Yes.
Pay for somebody's deposit for a Tesla Cybertruck. It's only $100 for the deposit.
Actually, that's kind of a neat idea. For those who really are into electric vehicles.
Have you seen the specs on that thing?
No, I've not actually. I have not actually seen the trucks either at the moment. I really have not. I really should have taken a look by now, but I have not.
Oh my God! It's impressive as anything.
Mm-hmm.
If I were Ford or Chevy or Chrysler, I'd be going, oh crap! It is cheap. It is unbelievably strong.
Mm-hmm.
It is quick.
Yep.
It is cheap. It is safe. It's a freaking Tesla.
It's $35,000.
It looks. What's that?
It's $35,000 if you actually buy it.
$39,000 for the vehicle.
Yeah, that's for the two-wheel drive.
That's the two-wheel drive. $49,000 for the four-wheel drive with the second motor. $69,000 for the three-motor version.
Right.
Those
aren't coming out to what, 2021?
All three of them can have a bed. Yeah. The bed capacity is 3,500 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
And it's got a heck of a towing capacity. And just the dual motor, they demoed it. They drag raced it against the Porsche 911. Blew the doors off the Porsche.
That wouldn't surprise me.
It seats six large guys comfortably. Has a 6.5-foot bed. It has 120-volt outlets. It has 220-volt outlets. It's got an air suspension. So they needed an air compressor. And they said, we'll put a tap there that you can plug a hose into. To run all your power tools. You could probably use that same hose to refill your own tires.
Yeah.
If they go flat.
Oh, understood. Actually, the question is, will the tires be like no air tires, you know?
No, it's going to have air in the tires.
Okay. But
it has air suspensions.
Mm-hmm. But at the very least, it sounds like you almost could use it as a work truck, you know, for, you know, on site.
Well, it is designed as a work truck.
Mm-hmm.
It really is designed as a work truck. They thought of everything. It's like the three motor version has a towing capacity of 14,000 pounds.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's relative. It's not really long range, but it's got decent range. You know, I think it's like goes from 200.
The three motor version is 500 miles range.
Right.
The three motor version is 500 miles range.
Yep. And for those who on the video looking at the gator jawbone, and some of those look beautiful. One's called the gator jawbone Mardi Gras, and I definitely agree with the naming of it because it reminds me of Mardi Gras with the green and the purple and the white and the gold. It's really pretty.
Huh? What is this?
This is the Gator Jawbone Dice from artesiandice.com.
Oh, the dice.
Yep.
Oh, okay.
Dave's been keeping up with that.
Ah, okay.
But anyhow, any other ideas? a little more reasonable and more game related than a Tesla.
Well, I already mentioned Brass.
Right. Yep. It looks like a beautiful game.
Oh, it is. Get the deluxe version. Oh, my God. I got that, and it was like, wow.
Which one? Lancashire or Birmingham?
Both. I got both.
Okay.
It's like, what the heck? They're similar, and they play, but they play a little different.
Mm-hmm. Drew, you got any ideas?
I'm trying to think of something, but I'm drawing blanks right now.
Okay. That is fine. That is fine. One thing that...
Yeah, I think I'm going to...
You're going to exit stage left?
Call it a night. I'm just... Yeah, just exhausted.
Okay. Okay. Well, you have a good night. And
see you next week.
Okay.
Are we doing one next week?
Yes, we could easily do one next week.
Okay.
We'll figure it out, because I can't think of the top of my head. I don't. Oop, and he's gone. I didn't touch it. For those watching the video, I didn't touch it. I didn't click.
I'm your witness. He didn't do anything.
My guess is his phone died.
Well, he did say it was a long day.
Yep, agreed. But one actually I thought of, and I think it's a really cool idea myself, which is hex map. These are the like the vinyl hex maps. Both. Like there's one that I just looked at Amazon, the ChessX reversible battle map. It's kind of cool. They have one.
Yeah, I have some of those.
There's one which is a Neo RPG battle grid map. It's a 24 by 36. That's inches, not feet. Neoprene mat plus, and that allows you to use the dry erase markers to mark on the map. Is it a tabletop role?
Yeah, we've actually used those in some of our game sessions for D&D.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's mentioned it's for D&D role playing, but I can easily see do that for some Starfleet battles stuff. You know, from marking the map with mines, or have some kind of weird scenario where things appear on the map. What was it? Oh. Black Hole Mania is a good one, where you know you can easily mark it down right on the map. Ever played Black Hole Mania?
Yeah, the thing that I'm trying to remember. I want to say I might have once at Origins, but the thing that I'm kind of disappointed in is that they used to have a black one, which would have been perfect for space. But I don't think Chessex actually makes it anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and
I mean it was almost perfect. It was like maybe like a couple hexes short on one of the two dimensions than the official Starfleet Battles one.
Mm-hmm.
But I used to use that for years for playing Starfleet Battles with Mega Hex. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was great. Best $15 I ever spent.
Yeah. Okay, I'm just looking at some of the ones they have. Okay, that's the squares. And then they have a reversible battle map, which is 1.5-inch squares, 1.5-inch hexes. They have a reversible, it's called a mega map, which is the same thing, but I'm assuming that's a larger, because... the mega map. Okay, the mega map is 34 by 48. 34 inches by 48 inches. And they also have the 1-inch hexes. The $119 map. But, and it's 54 inches by 102. So, let me see. In Texas, aren't that big.
That's pretty sizable.
Yeah. But definitely the size of the map is
Yeah, this one was like 1-inch hexes, I think, and it was about $15. I mean, it was a long time ago.
Right.
But I remember, I can't remember the name of the site now, but I saw it on Facebook, and it's somewhere in the notes that I will never find again. But there was this place that would actually, you could send them a photo, and they would create a vinyl map for you.
Oh, so they use it as a background.
Custom. So like you get a beautiful nebula picture and throw a hex map on it and they would do it for you. Or even if you're into like Starfleet Marines, you could, well, I mean, I don't know if they would appreciate that, but you know, you could create a map based on that. And I wish I could remember the site. If I find it, I'll send it to you, so maybe you could include it sometime later. But
yes,
it was
yes.
one of those things where the price wasn't actually unreasonable either. I mean, it wasn't cheap, but I want to say it was under $50 or somewhere like $50-$75. It wasn't that outlandish for people who are looking to buy $400 dice sets, but but the quality was supposed to be pretty amazing.
Oh yeah, I love those kind of huge maps that had, like, as I said, like the nebula in the background, things like that, which were gorgeous, you know.
Now, if we could do something like that on Starfleet Battles Online, that would be beautiful.
Yeah, because as it is, you can select a background image if you want to, and
Okay. I'll have to look into that.
Yeah, that's one of the things that is an option. You can set the background image for it. Looks kind of cool.
That's cool. I never knew that.
Yeah, but yeah, I've looked up these maps and they is that the one? Yeah, there's one which is, it kind of reminds me of the SFB maps with the, what do they call it? I think Stardust background.
Oh, that was in one of the old captain's logs?
No, actually, the old fold-up maps. The ADB, you know, has kind of the stars in the background.
Yeah, but didn't that show up in one of the old captain logs?
That is possible. Because yeah,
I think the one that had like the Orion being shot at going through the atmosphere or something like that.
Wow, this one I'm looking at is 4 feet by 6 feet.
So what site is this?
This is actually Amazon, is what it is. It's called Battle Game Map 48x72.
Okay, I'm going to have to look at that at work tomorrow. Oh, wait, did I say that for the record? I'm sorry. Not at work tomorrow.
Not at work tomorrow. Okay, questions.
No, actually, tomorrow's going to be one of those days where, like, I have one thing to do at noon because I've been spending, like, working way over the rest of the week, so... Yeah, after my 12:30 to 1 meeting, I don't think I have anything to do except look at Amazon.
Understood. Well, sometimes there are days that are like that. Tomorrow is not going to be one of those days for me, because I'm not going to be working because I need to head up north to Mansfield because my daughter's graduating. She's going to be a college graduate.
Mansfield, Ohio?
Mansfield, Pennsylvania. Do you know where Corning, New York is? You know where Corning, New York is?
No, not really. I just know we have a Mansfield between Akron and Columbus.
Yeah, I know. Well, I know there's
another... That's known for its prison where they shot the Shawshank Redemption movie.
Oh, cool. I like that movie. I like Shawshank Redemption.
Yeah, apparently, I guess they do a lot of like haunted ghost tours of that place too.
Oh, wow. I can believe that. Unfortunately, it didn't look like it has any hexes on it, though.
Fortunately, that's not where she is.
Well, fortunately,
but congratulations to her, though.
Thanks. Yeah, I had to tell my work. It's like, I'm not going to be at work tomorrow because I'm going to be driving 3 hours to get up to Mansfield. The moment they think my daughter's graduating tomorrow, she's not graduating tomorrow, but we're supposed to be there for the graduation by 10 o'clock in the morning. I'm not going to get up at 5. I don't think my wife would really appreciate getting up at 5 o'clock in the morning and driving up that early to get up there. So that's why we got a hotel. We're going to spend the night and do it that way. Oh, that's a neat one. Hexagon Hexboard Game Chits. That'd be cool.
Yeah. Okay, so guest user in the chat mentions the Ticket to Ride game, which I never played, but
oh, yeah.
I've heard of it.
Mm-hmm.
If you're into railroads, mm-hmm. actually, that might be something to... My sister likes like model trains and things like that, so maybe that's something I can think about for her. But the other thing he mentions, which we probably need to mention, Shapeways.
Of course, and not just for SFB stuff.
Yeah, it looks
stuff.
Like they're adding tons of stuff.
Right. Oh, what's the darn it? Shapeways has a sister website. Oh, forget what it's called. Basically, the sister website I'm thinking of basically does miniatures, not ships miniatures. They do like miniature figurines for like lizard people, humans, elves.
Hero Forge.
That's it.
Yeah, the one where you can actually kind of create. You can actually kind of create them on the fly.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I actually saw, I don't know if it was Facebook or somewhere, but somebody was talking about using that to create basically like miniatures for Starfleet Marines.
Right, oh yeah, you can. Because you can use different races, like a lizard race or... obviously elf, gorilla. You can use kind of a gorilla because there's a race that's part of the Klingon Empire, which is, I'm not sure you've seen, at least I keep on remembering the one picture of where was it? I think it was maybe Starfleet Marines, the module, you know, or was it Starfleet Marines itself? It might be Starfleet Marines, where it had that race on it. It looks like big gorillas, is what
Which
it is.
Which one? The one of the Klingon subject races.
Yes.
I don't remember the name, but I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Solidarian, is that it?
That might be. Yeah. That sounds right. But you know.
Yeah, actually, it's kind of a weird thing because. My brother used to own, he was a part owner in a company called Forge Prints that did, they did miniatures and he's no longer part of that, but they did, the company now is Galadoria Games, but they would do their own, they basically did their own miniature line in resin.
Right.
And they found a way to do the molding that was really nice. And it's like, I really was trying to hopefully see if I could steer them towards Steve Cole and, come up with some good miniatures. But fortunately, that business venture didn't work out too well at that time. So
right, well, and
but
so Steve Cole,
hopefully,
yeah, he went on.
I can get my brother to do some 3D printing for me.
Well,
maybe
we have
can make my own miniatures if I get a good.
Get good.
Well, because they used 3D printing to make their masters.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So
and they
maybe
used
I
those.
Can talk them into making some for me.
Right. My guess is the Shapeways actually prints every single miniature. That would be my guess.
Well, the Hero Forge, from what I recall, you can create your miniature and you can actually download just the image. So if you have your own 3D printer,
mm-hmm.
you can just download the image file and print it yourself. But I don't think they do that for the rest of their stuff.
Right.
Like on the Shapeways side.
Oh, definitely not on the Shapeways side. When that's what they're selling. They're selling the miniatures themselves. And the people who upload the models are usually the people who are selling the miniatures.
Yeah, but I do remember for the Hero Forge, I'm pretty sure there was an option where you could just design it and then download just what you would need to send it to your own 3D printer.
Right.
If you had one that was good enough.
Right, but Shapeways is the opposite. I just went to their main website and they have a button called upload a 3D model. So basically they'll do 3D printing on demand for you. So you have the model, they'll print it for you. I'm not sure how much it would cost. You know, obviously it depends upon the size and the complexity of the model. And of course, then the question is how well would it work out and so forth. I know.
So I do have a question.
Shoot.
Go ahead.
No, go.
Okay, so with the Shapeways stuff, I've been meaning to ask Gene, but I just haven't had a chance. But are they still doing the Starline 2500 miniatures? Or is everything going to be Shapeways now and you just get the right scale?
My understanding is they're moving it to be basically purely Shapeways. Purely Shapeways. They're stop making the ones based on, you know, the metal ones, basically.
Okay. Because I had bought some and, you know, I was always afraid to go all in because I wasn't sure where they were going because I had bought some of the 2400s and then they switched to the 25s. And then, you know, it's like if I'm going to invest, I'm cool with that. But
right.
I just want to know where to invest.
Oh, understood. Yeah, I got rid of most of my unpainted miniatures when I moved. They went to a good homes. I still have a few
Did you move like westward?
Minorly, yes, I moved westward around 5 miles from my previous house.
Okay.
But I went from a 3,200 square foot house to a 1,400 square foot house around 2 years ago. So I had to get rid of as much stuff as possible.
Oh, no, I get what you're saying. I just, I wasn't going to like, hey, so where are you living now? Tell the world. But I was just hoping maybe you were closer to me now, but guess not.
No, not that much closer. We found a really nice place to live, and we're happy here. But
that's the important thing.
Yeah, well, to me, the thing is really is that the question is how long will we be here? Because every place we go, it's temporary. You know.
Yeah, I think that's kind of the way the world is now. It's like, you know, there are no gold watches at work anymore. And, you know, yeah, unless you've got a family that you're going to raise for the next 20, 30 years or so, you know, who knows where you're going to be tomorrow.
Right. It's about the same time, as weird as it sounds, I've actually, in theory, and this is only in theory, been with my company for 30 years. And here's how that went. Out of college, I w started working for this place called Primavera Systems. At Primavera Systems, after working there for 10 years, I went to a startup called Global Logistics. 10 years after Global Logistics started, and what happened is we got acquired by Oracle Corporation. So in theory, I've been an Oracle employee, at that, now, which is 10 years later. I've been with Oracle for 20 years, but actually, the same year that they acquired Global Logistics, they acquired Primavera Systems. So in theory, I've been working for Oracle for 30 years. In a roundabout kind of way.
Well, as Homer Simpson once said, communism works in theory, Marge, in theory.
Yeah. Understood.
No, but I mean, that's just how it is. It's like, things change and you got to change with them. Sometimes it's good. Sometimes you got to make the best of it. But so far for me, it's been good.
Agreed, agreed. Now, of course, we have to remind people to stop by. If you don't have a local game store, please, if you have a local game store, try there first to find any SFB stuff, whether it's Star Armada or Federation Commander or Federation Empire. You have to, obviously, you have to know your person who's gonna want what they like. We've got some, of course, some fiction that has been written. Oh, give me a break. Okay, thank you. Their story is interesting. They upgraded now.
Yeah.
Every once in a while, it checks. Oh, your web browser is this. That's optimized for that web browser. It's like, no. But you can go there and get anything.
Well, I'll just apologize. Those are my people being lazy.
But as
Well, see, I work for a bank, so it's like we can't do that whole, oh no, we want you to use this browser. It's like, no, we're not allowed to do that. So, yeah, it always bothers me when people say, oh no, this is best viewed in Chrome.
Oh, do not get me started on that.
It's like
Do not.
you're just being lazy, dude. Make it work for every browser or go home.
Agreed, agreed. Oh crap.
Welcome to TalkShoe. Please enter the show ID followed by the pound key. You can access the episode. Enter your PIN followed by the pound key. If you are not a TalkShoe member, enter 1 followed by the pound. Your PIN is invalid. Please try again. Enter your PIN followed by the pound key. If you are not a talk. TalkShoe Live. This episode is being recorded and streamed live on TalkShoe.com. Please press 1 to accept and enter the online studio. You are joining the online studio. You are unmuted and can speak with the host. Recording started.
I'm back. That's gonna be fun.
Okay, I thought maybe we lost you there for a second.
You did. All of a sudden, the Skype disconnected. It's like, oh, grand. And now I have to change my PIN
That's
again.
okay. We're all still here.
Yep. I have to change my PIN on TalkShoe because I just streamed it out to the world. Anyhow, hopefully not that many people really care. But anyhow, Actually, with that, I
think. Yeah, but if they do care, they're friends of yours.
True.
We won't rat you out.
True. Thank you. Okay. Well, I think with that, we're going to wrap this up. You know, let me just mention one thing about, of course, the way I feel about buying hard products when it comes to Starfleet battles and other gaming games like that, which is always like having both copies, both the electronic form and the hard copy. Because the great thing about electronics is they're easily searchable, but in my mind, they're harder to read. You know, there's nothing like reading an actual physical copy of something. And maybe it's just me and, well, my kids are the same way, believe it or not. My kids being right now 22 and 24 and 26. So, really.
So can I add two things to that?
Sure.
Okay. Thing one, I agree with you 100%. I just recently spent way more money than I would ever admit to if I were married. Thank God I'm not on buying a bunch of stuff from Warehouse 23, which is pretty much all the same stuff that I bought at Origins and spent like $1,200 on. You know, but buying them as the PDFs because, you know, like you said, they're great for searching or for throwing on a tablet. Especially now that I'm playing some campaigns, but there are some R modules that they just don't have out there that I would even be willing, like if they just put them out there as is and got around to modifying them later to make them better, I would download them again. I would buy those right now.
Oh, understood. There's quite a few people that would do that too. The biggest issue, obviously, is copyright, and Steve Cole is already concerned. You know, that's why we had to redo the definitions on SAP Online. People like the old definitions because they look like the old SSDs. The problem is Steve Cole says, you know, after they came out, he saw his sales drop precipitously. Now, quite a lot, i.e. But I'm not sure, you know, if it's all caused by SAP Online. It might be, you know. I'm not sure of the causal relationship there completely, you know.
Well, yeah, but I mean, I know that falls under, like, the dead horse. I'm talking about things like, you know, some of the – they already have R modules out on Warehouse 23.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just – they're some of the more – obscure ones that I would just like to see because I will download them. I will buy them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'll happily put money, but they're not available.
Right. Understood.
And I know that they've talked in the past about, you know, they want to go through them. They want to edit them all, make sure they're all up to the new standards. But I'm just trying to say, I will buy them right now as is, exactly like they are in my, you know, paper collection. Yeah, and then if they ever get around to updating them, great. But, you know, there's just a lot of R modules that just they aren't available online.
Mm-hmm.
But the other point was, as you're talking about going to the local game store to buy things, you know, just a suggestion that, you know, a lot of game stores allow open gaming.
Mm-hmm.
You know, play there too. You know, like if you've got a bunch of friends that you play Starfleet battles with in your living room, consider just getting together and playing at a game store one day.
Yep.
You know, it doesn't have to be like one of the Ranger events or any of the, you know, it doesn't have to be any kind of a big deal thing. Just instead of meeting in your living room, meet at the local game store.
Right.
And just play. And if anybody sees what you're doing, you know, that's another customer.
Agreed. And I'm wholeheartedly, I want to support my local businesses as much as possible. That's why invariably I try to avoid, you know, buying things from Amazon if possible.
Well, like I was, I don't know if you, Michael Helberg, Admiral Graven, whichever you know him by, Yeah, I found out a while ago. We've never managed to get together, but he lives like right here in the same city with me. You know, and it's like we've talked about getting together to play, but it's like instead of getting together at one of our homes,
mm-hmm.
we should just agree to meet at. There's a game store like within walking distance from my apartment, and if you ever saw me, I'm kind of a big guy, so walking distance for me isn't all that far. So you know, it's like
understood.
Like literally, like a 0.2 mile away. You know, and instead of inviting him here, you know, I should consider the two of us getting together there, and we can play our private game. But you know, if anybody sees what we're doing and takes an interest in it, then you know, maybe we've added, you know, a couple more players to the Starfleet Battles community.
Mm-hmm. Hey, evangelize, man, evangelize. That's what it is. If you remove the religious context to it, that word.
I don't know, though.
It's the same thing.
We're Roman Catholics. Are we allowed to do that?
Yes. Oh, don't get me started about that.
I mean, I thought I was supposed to just sit in the back and be quiet till communion.
No.
I'm just kidding, man. I was an altar boy till they actually kicked me out. I was like, I was in college and they're like, listen, you know, either fish or cut bait, dude. You know, go to the seminary, get out.
Well, you still can become like a deacon.
I might do that. That's the nice thing about it is it's never too late until, you know, last rites and you're buried.
Yeah. And if you're single, that makes things different because of I know a few deacons. And I know that as part of becoming a part of the diaconate, you know, going through the deacon process and all that, basically, you if you're married, you and your wife have to basically kind of agree to this because it's a total change in life. You know, your wife has to be there to support you the whole way, and if she's not in on it, no, you're not becoming a deacon.
Yeah, and actually, if I remember correctly, if you're not married, once you become a deacon, I don't think you're allowed to get married. I'm pretty sure that like, you either have to walk in the front door married to be a deacon,
mm-hmm.
or that's it, you're done.
That's possible. I do not know one way or the other, so I'll leave it at that. But yeah, we're supposed to be churches. You know, when the priest says go forth, we're supposed to go forth and carry out the good news to everyone out there. So that's also why I listen to Bishop Barron a lot, and you know that's part of he's part of what's considered the new evangelization, you know, social media and things like that. You know, he's got Word on Fire, which helps out with teaching things related to that, and including, you know, theology and other things like that. So
that's see, I always thought it was go forth because there's still a chance I can catch the end of the game.
Don't get me started on that one. Now, because one thing that drives
me... you're doing a pretty good job of not getting started on anything.
You're pushing my buttons, man.
I do have to commend you on that.
You're pushing my buttons.
But you're not biting, and so I commend you on that. We're gonna have a St. Paul here.
Yeah, if you're not careful, this is going to come into this week in Catholicism. Okay, well, I'm going to close up for this evening, Andrew. It was a pleasure talking to you this evening. I'm glad you stopped by.
Likewise.
Okay, you have a good night.
You too, Paul.
Okay, bye. So, had a nice little discussion with some ideas, including some wonderful dice. Of course, there's always the dice boot. If you Chessex still has it, it's a great thing to have. Obviously, the board, the mats, those are, I think, awesome, especially when you can write them with your pen and all. And, you know, with the SMB, you can get the Mega Hex counters. I'm pretty sure they still have those. I'm pretty sure they still have available. Let me look at that just for a quick moment. I don't see other products. Let's just see if they happen to have miscellaneous. I'm doing real quick. Klingon. Hey, they have a Klingon pin. Romulan pin. Other neat things, including name a starship, which is kind of cool. But, and doing that with Matt, the big Matt hex maps, they're awesome. Of course, the nice, cool game brass. And, you know, other games are out there that are wonderful. You know, Ticket to Ride, I've yet to buy that yet, but I think that's a cool game. I actually really have thought about getting that for my son. And, of course, hey, gift cards are always a plenty for both. I'm not sure if Hero Forge has it, but, you know, gift cards are always a good thing, especially if they're related to that place, specifically, like maybe Barnes & Noble. Get so people can buy, because Barnes & Noble do sell games, so that people can buy games there or buy books, you know, either manga or a Star Trek book or, you know, anything like that. So I think with that, I am Paul Franz, and I bid you a good night.